John 21:6, and he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Last year, my wife and I went to the Asbury Revival. It was powerful. As a matter of fact, we went on a Sunday, I believe it was, and we were thankful we went that day because they made the announcement during that particular service time that it would be the last night that the public would be invited. The rest of the time, it would be for the students because it was a student-oriented movement, and that it would end officially later that week. And they gave a reason why. It says they wanted it to continue because it was so powerful and helping, but there wasn't enough room and space. They had opened up several buildings on campus that had fed the feed in. People were getting ministered to there, but the campus was overwhelmed. And the town of Wilmore was inundated and could not handle all the traffic. There wasn't enough restaurants. There wasn't enough fuel in the fuel stations. It was inundated beyond its capacity, as well as the seminary was. So they said, "We can't continue to do this." And if you think about this, there were people from all over the world coming, all over our nation. And it spread to other campuses and places throughout. It was an awesome move of God. But you can't plan for that. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. The last great revival at Asbury was in the early 1970s. They had smaller ones, but nothing of this scale since then. So how would you plan for something 53 or 52 years later to happen? You couldn't, could you? You wouldn't know. So once it started, it's too late. You can't build accommodation, do out the infrastructure, put more restaurants, gas stations in for this revival, however long it lasts, because you just wouldn't have time to do it. But they did do well. They brought in food trucks. They brought in huge TV screens so people could watch them outside while waiting to get in. They had food and water that was available for people. And there was first aid, there was medical tents, there was all these different things, and people were very accommodating and welcoming, but they were just overwhelmed. They didn't expect such a big catch, such a big harvest. It wasn't planned at all. It didn't even come from a revival service. It happened from a midweek service, a chapel service, which when I went to college was not mandatory, was optional. And very few people went. But there, it's mandatory. And after that service was over, a handful of students kept praying over what was talked about. And it grew from there. Because the presence of God began to heal and restore lives that day. That mighty move and work of God was halted because there was no room left in the net. And that net was called Asbury and Wilmore, Kentucky. And I believe when the officials of the college and the town met, that it was a very difficult and anxious time to make this decision. Because you see lives changing and God doing a great work. And they're going, we got to quit, but we don't want this to quit because God's doing something here. But we just have to. A heavy-hearted decision that I'm sure they had to make. And they made it the best way they could. But I was thankful to be there on the last evening and see a powerful work of God. It really touched my heart, my wife's heart, and everybody we met there. It was the most beautiful presence of God. I think I told you about it last year when we came back. It was wonderful. But Asbury had an overwhelming catch. You know why? Because the harvest is great. Do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples? The harvest is plentiful. The fields are white with harvest. Pray for workers to go and gather my harvest. Pray for laborers to go to the field. God specializes in large numbers. He's good at them. He's also good at the one. It will leave them all to find the one. As Jesus said, a good shepherd with the sheep would leave 99 behind to go looking for the lost one, the one that can't find their way. But God can offer more than you can handle. I promise you that. It even says in Ephesians, God can do more than you could think or imagine. No matter how large your imagination can go, God can do more. And more wonderfully. No matter how much you might want or desire, God goes further. And He does it in a way that you can't always fathom. This scripture tells us that they cannot draw the net in. There's so many fish in the net. Now there's six men in the boat. There were seven there, but Peter jumped in the water swimming to Jesus. There's six men in this boat. It's a small boat. And they're trying to pull this net, and it's so big they can't. Which tells you one thing. That unbroken net miraculously stayed together with all the fish in it. And that God's net doesn't break. So if you're pulling in a harvest, and you go, I don't know if we got enough, God's net is not going to break. If it's a move of God, He's going to make sure it works, that it happens the way He's prescribed. And that what we do for His work will not break. Because God wants the harvest to get all the way home. And we can do this kind of work for God. We really can. We could have a big harvest. We can. We can do this work for God. I can. You can. We can do this. If we're willing. But let's look at the disciples for a moment. Even if they had a bigger boat, the six men still could not lift the net. No matter what size boat it is, six men still can't lift more than they can lift. So they could have a whaler ship, but six guys trying to bring the same net in that's still going to have to be dragged behind the boat. Their efforts weren't enough, as they didn't expect that big of a catch. Well, had they known it, had they anticipated it, they could have made some plans ahead of time. They could have said, well, let's get a bigger boat because we're going to have more fish than we can handle in this little boat. We're going to need a winch. I don't know if they had winches back then, but a rope and a winch and a pulley system. And pull it this net up because it's... But, you know, we're going to need a backup net because this net probably won't hold them all because this net doesn't hold that many fish. And we're going to have more than this net can handle. So we're going to need a backup net and a backup for that backup because we might catch more than that. And they're talking about all this stuff, right, that they could have done. And they could have asked for more help. They could ask a couple guys, hey, bring a different boat and different guys, and we'll all work together to get this net up and into the boat so we can get the catch. But they didn't expect it, so they didn't bring anything else to get the job done. And, you know, those things might not even have been available to them. But if they were, and they expected that catch, they could have brought them, couldn't they? But if you look at the story, They're not expecting it. What they're expecting is to catch fish to feed their family and a few to sell. That's exactly what they're looking for. And they're going to fish until they get it done. You see, what we miss in this story about them fishing is they fished all night and caught nothing. But they didn't quit just because they caught nothing. And the day is breaking and they still caught nothing. And in that moment, since they didn't quit, the miracle gets to happen and Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, the darkest night begins to break. Think about that for a moment. There's a parallel with our lives here. Our world is increasingly getting more detached and dark. Madness, craziness, different opinions about God and who people are and what life's all about. And the world's beginning to be more and more dark. And if we are kind of fishermen who say, well, the world's too dark, I can't catch anything, they don't want anything, I've tried and it doesn't work, and we quit, we haven't quit before Jesus showed up. If we quit before Jesus shows up, we won't catch anything. And that's a fact. The truth is, these disciples didn't quit because their job wasn't to go fishing. Their job was to go catching. If you're going fishing, you can quit. If you're going catching, you can't until you catch. Do you understand? They were tired and caught nothing, but they couldn't quit. Their tiredness was not an excuse to not feed their family. Their small boat and the closeness, proximity of other people were getting tired and on each other's nerves and were wore out. Wasn't a reason to quit. No fish caught. Not a reason to quit. Because they didn't go to catch nothing. They went to feed their family and to have something to sell. They would not go home because there was nothing to bring home and nothing for them to eat yet. Maybe you remember when Jesus asked them if they have any food to eat. And they say, no, we have nothing to eat. That motivates you when you have nothing to eat, doesn't it? Some of us, we go, man, I'm hungry. I got to get something to eat now. Where's the fridge? Or where's the closest place I can get something? Because we're hungry. These guys got nothing to eat and they got to catch it. So they can't quit and they're hungry. They're tired and nothing in the net. They might have thought they were bad fishermen. They picked the wrong day. They might have blamed the moon. They might have blamed the temperature of the water. But you know what? They're still going to fish. Because it's pointless for them to leave because they're just going to have to come back to get something to eat later. So they're going to stay and do the job until it's done. Not just a little bit, their quota that they need to have to survive. Just the kind of fishermen they were. Had they not been that kind of fishermen, they would have quit in the middle of the night and before the break of dawn. And Jesus came in at the break of dawn in the morning.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
We can talk of great things that we like to do for God. Things we could do or that God can do. We can talk about ideas and hopes and dreams. But do we really want to see a major move of God? An overwhelming one where we run out of resources like Asbury? Do we really want to see that? Or do we just want to make sure we're here and the church is here for the next generation. What do we really want to see God do? What are we willing to labor for that God would cause to occur because he is faithful to reward those who labor for the harvest? What are you wanting to see God do? Is it a move of God where people are flooding here to come hear the gospel and be redeemed and restored, or not? What is your heart? Let me tell you something. When God moves, there's nothing else like it. Nothing else like it. Maybe you've been in a worship service where you go, wow, that was quick. I don't want it to end. Doesn't matter how long it was or how short it was. I don't want it to end. When we were at Asbury, people didn't want to leave. The whole campus, the presence of God is sitting on it. And no matter where you went, you just felt loved. And people loving each other and kind to each other and courteous. And here, let me get the door. Let me help you. Can I help you with this? Not get out of my way. But isn't God awesome? And all you people were talking about was Jesus. Wow, what a world that would be, wouldn't it? It's possible. It happened. I saw it. I've been in revivals where the presence of God came so strong and people began to experience the move of the Holy Spirit in the revival. Some of the things that were said were people's struggles that the only way could have been known was by the power of the Holy Spirit. Revealing that. And people would say, wow, God sees me. He hears me. He's heard my story. He's heard my struggle. This is God. And they would say, I'm so glad I'm here. Oh, my life's going to change now. And yet, after the revival was over, doubt crept back in. And they said, who told them my secret? Who told them my story? Who's been talking about me that they would know this and tell me that God sees it? I don't believe God did that. Because they didn't really believe God could do what God did. And the fact is, they had told nobody the story. And they had forgotten that part. They had told nobody this story, the deeper struggle of their heart. And it was revealed like that. You see, when revival comes, the first thing that happens is people repent. They start to confess the things that they don't want to deal with anymore. That they're tired of having in their lives. They're tired of having empty nets and pointless existences and the shame and the guilt of their life and not liking who they are or their world or themselves or their situation. And they start saying, God, this is who I am. This is what I got. I don't know what to do about it. I've got empty nets and I believe you can do more and I'm coming to your presence, God. I'm going to believe. But do you ever get in God's presence and say, I'm not leaving until you bless me? Like Jacob come Israel. I'm not leaving and letting you go, God, till you bless me. You ever prayed that? God will wrestle with you. Just like you'll wrestle with him. And neither one of you prevail until he blesses you. If you're willing to wrestle all night. Like Jacob did. You ever wonder about that? Wrestled all night. They fished all night. We're not going to quit till God shows up and does something miraculous. We're not going to stop. I think that's an amazing story. A great story to tell us that if we are consistent and persistent, God will break down resistance. We say we want revival, and we want growth, and a good harvest. But we keep sending out little boats. Expecting little in return. We use small nets. There was probably a bigger net available to those disciples. They just brought one in, it would catch a few at a time. And sometimes we use limited effort because we really don't think God's going to do anything. We're not in the business of, I'm doing this until it's done. We're in the business of, I'm doing it until I get frustrated, exhausted, or don't see what I want to see. We're in the wrong business, if that's the business we're in. The business is the disciples the same. We're fishers of men. I'm going to do it till the job's done. Because there's nothing else worth working for. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father. So I'm going to keep fishing until I catch the food. His will. And maybe we could stand in that line that says, I'm not finished until it's done, with anxious hands. Anxious hands because it hadn't happened yet, but we wanted to. And hearts fearful to stop too soon. Rather than frustration and saying it's never worked. And so we talk about what used to work, what we've done in the past. And we talk about things like it was, the great things we have done. We should redo those. But God's trying to spring up a new work. A work that we haven't seen that God can bless if we're diligent and faithful to trust and keep persistent like the disciples. What is it you want to see happen? What is it that you're willing to work at and not quit? Because you know when God shows up, the work will have been worth it and the harvest will be plentiful. What is it that you really, really want to see happen here? Do you want to see a move of God in ways you haven't seen in a long time? Do you want to see the revival of this church in ourselves, in our families, in our community? Do you want to see that? Are you willing to keep laboring until that happens? And you say, well, I don't know what kind of labor. Scripture is very clear. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within you. To be willing to testify at a given moment. You see, people out there are looking for something real and relevant. This generation doesn't want something that's not going to work, that doesn't touch them emotionally and mentally both. That they want something that they can believe in, and the church has been presented as an idea rather than as a life transformation power. And if you believe the church is just something to do because that's what you do, and Jesus just this idea, they're not going to go for it. They will not believe, you should go because we go, or you know, Jesus is awesome. That's not what they're going to hear. They're going to hear your story, what he did for you. Not, he saved me from my sins, but I was broken. I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was an addict. I was struggling with truth. I was struggling with trust. And God came in and he wiped that all clean. And now I don't have that anymore because he delivered me. And it's the same thing they're struggling with somewhere in your life. They have too. They want to know it works. If you don't tell them what worked for you, they're not going to know. Your testimony is what they believe of what God did for you. Not what you got from God, but what you struggled without God with. What he delivered you from. Not what he can save you from, but what he delivered you from personally. That's a story that people want to hear. And they'll say, if he did it for you, then maybe he'll do it for me. I want to know more. Because I'm hungry for something that can change this empty, broken, hollow sound inside my soul that I can't fill with internet or relationships or sex or drugs or alcohol or anything. And I've tried. And you say this worked for you. And that's what I'm struggling with. Tell me more. That is how the Asbury Revival started. They wanted real love, not fake love. They wanted real hope, not fake hope. They wanted a faith that makes a difference. My question is, are you willing to share your story and be willing to spend the time telling it, whether it's a short version or a long version, with anybody who will listen? But you have to know that he did it for you first. And if you haven't experienced that life-transforming power of Jesus Christ, your story is going to ring hollow and you'll come across as a partial believer. They weren't sport fishermen, and we can't be sport Christian. We work till the job is done and the harvest is in. Until then, No excuse. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us for thinking we're not going to catch anything. We don't have big enough boat, or we have too big a boat, or we don't have enough time, or we're too busy. All these things that we said to you came ahead of priority one, which was loving you and serving you. And our resources have been spent on our own things, our own desires, and you've gotten with left over rather than the first fruit. But Lord, you gave us your firstborn, your first fruit. And how it will be so glorious when we're standing in creation's heaven, in ready to extend into eternity, and we see his glorious face, and rivers of delight are going to roll over us, because he says to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I pray that today, that each one of us will know in our heart of hearts that you are the King of all creation, and that we are truly under your authority for our lives, that we haven't chosen wisely, but today you say, "I'm willing to invest in you yet again. Let my heart and my spirit flow over you now." And Lord, may this be the cry of our heart, and may it begin with me. Amen.
Stand with me, if you would, please.